I want to play a little bit of a thing that features our esteemed superintendent of Columbia Public Schools.
Oh, and I even wore my hat.
This is
I never know what you
karaoke.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday to
Kermit the Frog singing Billy Joel.
Hop a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood.
Hey, I must say I'm in tune.
I'm taking a greyhound.
Spiegelman accompanying.
People are waking up going, oh God, what is that?
I'm not playing much more, but this
oh my
is just
God.
Too good.
Yeah, so good.
Nice.
Go Mets.
7-4 last night.
Oh, that's great. So, gosh, we got James Corden to blame for this kind of stuff. You know?
Oh, that's too funny. I did not know that was accessible
I knew
for
this
the
was
general
there.
Public.
What surprises me, though, is it only got 43 views on this particular
website.
Well,
that's because I think most people are not familiar with that.
if you're curious, now, your car mates there are the principal and assistant principal
at West
Middle
School. That's right. They wanted to do a karaoke car sort of shtick for their staff as a way to introduce themselves, and so they said, oh, let's just go drive around and see, you know, what's going on and see our new neighborhood now that we're the new leaders of the school. And then they pull over and they ask me to get in, and of course I start waving a Mets banner.
Got the
I change over to my Islanders hat.
It's a good great choice of song.
Right?
Well, they do a lot of songs. The principal and assistant. I haven't gotten to the end of it yet. That's right in the middle of this. It's about a 4.5 minute.
Well, I'll have to check it out.
Have you not seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it. That's why I'm watching it.
That's
on
why there's only
right
43
now.
People that have watched it. If you're interested in this, it's WMS, which stands for West Middle School Karaoke Carpool on YouTube. Or you can go to the West Middle School website. And it's got their YouTube channel or whatever that's called. And you can go and do that. It's kind of funny because the two principals also, prior to picking up the superintendent, are singing something about Stressed Out, the song now, which
is 21 Pilots.
Stressed Out.
Yeah,
yeah. My daughter loves that song, and she's gotten me to enjoy that song also.
That's too funny that you found that.
No, it's not hard to find. Dr. Peter Stiepelman has joined us for a while. We want to talk about school things here in the early morning of this day, and he has agreed to come in. And so when we have our opportunities to be in between weather and sports and news, we're going to talk to you. Let me ask you this. As you drove across town this morning to come here to get to the KFRU studios, what's on your mind as you think about what's not yet happening, but you probably know that there are a couple of bus drivers that are out there already starting their
routes. They're definitely out there. Well, I'll tell you, truly, the first thing that was on my mind is that it's usually my job to get my two middle school children up. And so I was just looking at I actually set your station to their alarm clocks today. So
they're going to love you for that.
3 minutes, I'm going to say, in that box next to you, I'm in it. Wake up. So that was the first thing. It was just sort of a truly logistical thing for my own home, is to make sure that they get their school lunch and get on that bus. But truly for us, I mean, you asked me off air how the start of the school year is going, and it has been the most tremendous start for us. For us, we've got three big issues, though. I mean, it's about getting our kids to school, it's about keeping them in class, and it's about catching them up. And so in those three areas, it's really about attendance, and it's about suspensions, and it's about those growing discrepancies between rich and poor and between black and white. And so, you know, people waking up at 6:12 in the morning are going to say, he wants to talk about race at this morning, you know, right now. But those are the things that are on my mind, because we are a tremendous school district. We do amazing things for our kids, and our kids leave our community and go do amazing things in their lives. And we also have this growing gap. There's not much in between. It's our kids who really thrive. It's 50%. And then you've got about 30% that are really struggling. And so that's what's on my mind constantly.
We're going to take a break for sports.
Sure.
We come back. And I'm sorry that these are going to be chopped
no,
up.
No, I know,
away.
I know.
But let me ask you this, because I thought of did you hear the national news at the top of the hour? They had something. I tried to jot it down really quickly as I was doing some things. It was like 38% of high school seniors are reaching some sort of a benchmark in three out of the four core subjects, which would be science, math, English, and social studies or history. And
probably
it was talking about their college preparation and scores on certain tests that they have for that.
Right. So they may have been referring to the ACT, because they're in three areas and there's a composite score. And for us, It's about 51% of our students meet that benchmark, and so we're considerably higher than the state, national, and international averages on those, but of course you want to do better. Now, kudos to the state for actually making sure that every junior takes the ACT, and so that is going to be interesting as we begin comparing ourselves, all kids, instead of just those who take the ACT.
Mm. Well, we'll take a break. Dr. Peter Stiepelman stays with us. Dr. Peter Stiepelman from the Columbia Public Schools, he's the superintendent, is in the studio with us this morning for a while, and appreciate him getting up early and coming in. Well, we started our conversation, and again, it chops up a little bit when we can settle in here for a few moments now. I was interested in what you said as far as the, you said, what did you characterize these three as?
Three big rocks, right? Three big focus areas. We used to have eight goals, and someone said to me, you know, when you're focused on eight things, you're focused on nothing, right? And so when we started to really drill down to what were the three most important things for our kids, they were attendance, they were our suspension rates, and they were, in terms of just discrepancies between student groups, catching kids up. So we're not, I mean, to say catching kids up, you're not focused on our kids. You know, you and I have children in the schools who are doing really well, and it doesn't mean that they're not going to have great personalized education and people are not going to pay attention to their successes. But when you consider the future of our community and who's going to stay in our community, we've got to make sure that we're catching our kids up who are not being successful.
I jotted down some things as I was thinking about your visit today, and one of them that we can in our workplace to a certain degree, in our attendance at worship, if we do that, in places where we hang out, we can kind of surround ourselves with people who are similar to us and sort of like us. I was thinking last night, because it was, Parents' Night or Visit the School Night last night, at least at West Middle School. And I was thinking, you know what, when you're in a school situation, you don't have that opportunity to basically avoid diversity if it's a public school situation. How do you teach respect for diversity? And teachers face that daily in the classroom. Students especially become more aware of that as they get older.
Sure. So that's a good question. And one good way is certainly that we're all together, right? I mean, we're the public schools, and more than 90% of the community sends their children to public school. And so we are together. Advisory is a good place. That's the first 18 minutes. For the first couple of years, we weren't very well defining what advisory could be. And so a lot of people saw it as just sort of a soft start to school. But we've gotten a lot better at defining that time to be about really understanding different people's perspectives. But a big part of this is also about training our teachers, who many of our teachers come from one perspective, and yet we're working with a community that has multiple perspectives. And so certainly our teachers are not a homogenized group, but when you look at, you know, more than 90% of our teachers are white, and then, you know, about 25% of our students are black, it's that, how do we make sure that we're considering everything from race, class, gender, sexual orientation, religion, ability, and not that we're teaching those things, but rather understanding that we all see the world differently, that we have multiple perspectives, and we have to honor them. So one way is that we have about 40 people now trained as equity trainers, and just to help us understand and be able to appreciate or accept, not necessarily always approve of different ways that people react to the world, but certainly accept that there may be a historical or cultural context associated with that response. And so we've been working, every school is on its own journey, and every individual is on their own personal journey as we continue to diversify as a nation. And so we're working on that. We're working on something called restorative practices, about how do you really truly listen and then be able to restore what has been broken. But I know we're in little chunks, so you tell me if I need to stop.
I was thinking as you were saying that, Lorenzo Lawson of Youth Empowerment Zone was on a couple of weeks ago, and it was interesting because he gave an explanation of perhaps African-American student or a black student who comes from a house where you yell everything. Basically, you yell back and forth. You yell over a loud television. And this was his example, not my example. And he was saying that might be how a black student has been raised and comes to a classroom, and then when he or she wants the teacher's attendance, yells or is a lot louder at a different volume, a decibel level than what that teacher might be comfortable with. And he says that's not because the student necessarily is trying to be a problem or a difficult student, But when the teacher doesn't understand that kind of a background, then that leads to troubles and misunderstandings.
So I can tell you, David, there are instances when I was principal where you would get a referral sent to the office where student A has been defiant. And then when you dig into the moment that that was determined or defined as defiance, has everything to do with a child sort of yelling back, "What did I do?" I mean, clearly wanting to know, "What did I do?" Right? And so, you know, these are really important pieces. Now, when you overlay poverty, which is, you know, we're a community where almost one in every two kids is receiving free or reduced lunch, and there are very few reduced lunch kids, so more free or not. You start talking about really physiologically, the brain is a different brain. It's not a better or worse brain, but you're talking about these glucocorticoids, cortisol on the brain. And so a kid who's quick to anger, a kid who has poor verbal skills or poor social skills or who is impulsive, you've got all these sort of characteristics associated with chronic stress that's associated with poverty. Not all poor kids are chronically stressed. That's not fair to say, but certainly many of our kids who don't know where they're going to be sleeping that night or don't know what they're going to eat that next day, or if it's the weekend and they're not sure what that weekend holds for them. You know, my kids come home, "It's weekend," right? Other kids, I go, "It's weekend," mm-hmm. right? They don't know. And so it's just about making sure that we as a school system, and this is a nationwide story, this is not Columbia, but this is certainly something. I was just in D.C. for a meeting of superintendents, 35 of us, we're a cohort for the next 18 months, really learning from each other. My most this most treasured relationship I've formed is with Ann Arbor's superintendent, you know, because Ann Arbor is also a university mm-hmm. town, very much like Columbia. And they're having the same struggles in terms of just how do we, as a community, all come together and recognize that we've changed. You know, we're better, I think, than we were, but we're different. And so how do we come together and recognize those changes and celebrate the diversity and also acknowledge our challenges?
Who picked the 35 and what's that group's origin?
35.
The 35 superintendents that you said you were with. The
you have to apply. There. You apply. So it's through the American Association of School Administrators. And so I asked my school board, as my own continuing education, might I apply to this superintendent cohort? Not everyone's accepted. And so it's a really interesting group from Illinois, from Wisconsin, from Washington State. Actually, my favorite is from New York because she's the superintendent from Baldwin, which is the town next to mine in Rockville Center. And I used to drive through her parking lot on the way to Freeport to see my grandmother. And I said, "Oh, I used to drive through your high school parking lot." She goes, "Oh, yeah. We put up barriers because of," and she didn't use a very kind word, but "because of people like you." It was like a warm hug.
So what will come out of this? You said, what, 18 months or so?
18 months. So truly it's about understanding not just your local trends, but state and national trends in education. I can tell you for already knowing that coming from Columbia, I don't want to go anywhere because these were colleagues who were talking all over about how they had to cut teachers, cut programs, cut art, cut music, how they had to consolidate or close schools. And meanwhile, we were sort of the envy of everyone in that group. You're growing, you're building schools. 90% of your community sends their children to public schools. You just voted a tax levy to increase compensation and deficit spending. Oh my gosh. Do you realize where you live? I said, yeah. Well, at least now I have an even better idea. So, but what comes out of it, we all have these projects that we're working on that we use each other to as resources. My project is about growing our own teachers. When we look at 60% of our kids staying in Columbia, not wanting to lose teachers to St. Louis and Kansas City when they go back home, it's about identifying really bright kids in our school district and then saying to them, "We want you to be a teacher, and we're going to work with you to get scholarships to Stevens and Columbia College and MU, and then when you graduate, we want you to work for us." And almost doing a whole signing ceremony like they do for athletics. Future teacher, right, with the backdrop of whatever school they're going to, with a hat that says CPS, and we're so excited that we want to claim, you know, the honor of being a teacher and wanting you to be a part of our community. Your family's here, let's do it.
When's that photo op first happen?
Well, it's supposed to launch next year, so it could be this spring or next spring.
That'll be cool.
I'm really excited about it.
All right. Dr. Peter Stiepelman with us for a while longer. We're going to break for news now. Dr. Peter Stiepelman, superintendent at the Columbia Public Schools, is our guest. You know, it's interesting because one of the things you were talking about, and I hope people were listening before 6:30. If not, you missed his singing debut of, of a
on the radio.
Carpool.
Woo, I knew I'd make it.
Okay, that he sang along with. Really cute. A lot of fun. I enjoy seeing those kinds of things, and I think they bring a humanity to some people. I ask, I'll make this start of this question, there is a point to it. When Mike Alden was here several years ago, I remember asking him how much of what he does as did as athletic director at MU was being able to be connected with sports. You think of athletic directors right there involved in sports, and how much of it was managing or away from that. How much as superintendent of a school district like Columbia is your life, your week, your day, your year, education, hand, right. You got a hand on education that's going on in this community, and how much of it is managing or a business side?
Right. So so I'm like a three-legged stool. I am part CEO of the third largest employer here in town, 2,700 employees. I am the chief learner, so that's sort of the principal of every, you know, of all the principals. And then the last is the chief storyteller, because I don't want to consider myself a politician. I didn't run for office. I applied for the job, right? So, but that's really a big part of what I do. And so I would say it depends on the year. In my first year, I was trying to cultivate a relationship with the community. So the big part of that was a storyteller. Second year was about really trying to make sure that story was resonated when we were asking for a tax increase and the ability to pass a no tax increase bond. And so this is the year where I really feel like I can be back in the classrooms, back in schools, talking about these three issues and being a partner with principals and teachers. And so I had the ability on August 11th and 12th, we did 12 one-hour sessions. You can imagine I was exhausted by the end of that. But it was about talking about our with every teacher in our district, 1,500 teachers that came through, and we had three sessions for them. One was me. One was about equity, or really was about poverty on the brain. We have someone we work with out of Baltimore. His name is Frank Cross, K-R-O-S, if you're going to look him up. And then the third were teams of for restorative practices. And in that hour that I had with every teacher was to really lay out the challenges and the successes that we have as a school district, laying out these three things that we're working on, getting them to school, keeping them in class, and catching them up, and the why on that, right? Not just what we're going to do, but why it's so incredibly important. And more than anything, you referred to the human side of what we do. That's a big part of being a great teacher, is knowing your kids' stories and knowing what they need. And so I would say that this is a year where I'm going to be much more visible in classrooms than I have been, because I really want to re-embrace what I got into this business for, teaching and learning. And so like Mike, I'm sure he had different years where he was focused on different things. And so
it's just interesting, because when you get to the top of an organization, then it's all of a sudden, like you just said, you kind of pulled away from the thing that got you into that particular industry.
This is the week where I'm meeting with every board member and talking about what their goals are. How can I better support them? Making sure that I'm meeting their needs. And so that's a big political piece there, because I'm their only employee, right? So I have seven bosses that sometimes approach their positions from different perspectives with different agendas. Now, this is an incredible school board. They have now been together for, you know, 2 years without any difference or interruption in the makeup of the board. And so they're really focused on these three things, and they really hold my feet to the fire on them.
We'll have to be quick on a couple of things here. One is, how did the enrollment at Gentry Middle School get to the point where it's so far beyond what the capacity
is? Well, it's not as if we didn't know. I mean, that's why we made the case to the community saying, you know, in a couple of years, we'll be coming to you to buy land and design a school. And then last year saying, may we have money to go buy land and design a school? But with our bonding capacity, there's a delay in when that money becomes available. So really, this is a school south of town that we want to build that won't be available till 2021. So we've known this is happening. You can see all the growth in the south of town to sort of indicate, wow, get ready, you're about to have an influx of kids. They were at about 800 students in June, and we knew that they were going to be overcrowded. But then all of a sudden you have, you know, 67 more kids arrive throughout the summer because they're moving downtown, down to the south of town. And so that's going to be a big conversation for our school board. October is the month where I make an attendance boundary report. And so we'll be looking at Smithton and West. We'll be looking at Gentry and Jeff. We know that Pax and Keeley is okay for a year, but we're watching them over the next couple of years. We've just done a capacity study on all of our schools as a way to kind of understand what kind of space is available at those schools and whether or not we need to make changes. So
So there could be boundary change for middle schools.
Before the new elementary school opens? Middle school opens? Potentially. We're going to look at everything we can possibly do because that's such a major disruption for families to have a different school. So we're looking at space. You know, there is one classroom at Gentry that is used only 1 hour of the day for a sewing class. And so as part of the family and consumer science. Mm-hmm. So might that become a multi-use room because there's space there? So we're going to look for every opportunity before we'd have to change anything.
Well, before I let you go again, thank you. And I have a couple of New York Times. LA Times article talks about as enrollment declines, LA public schools are marketing now. They're putting up a marketing, trying to sell their school as if it were a product. But closer to home, Kansas City Star today running a story about how Raytown at its back to school pep rally. They are going to give away a car to a student at Raytown and at Raytown South. So two cars for an attendance of 95% or better. There's some stipulations here as how you do that.
I was going to say they need to be careful because there are some rules on what might be considered gambling or...
Apparently they have cleared this with the state high school Department of Education.
Good.
But interesting way of... You know, you could say bribing the kids to show up and attend 95% of the classes as a junior or senior in high school. But the thing that is interesting about this is they say that the investment of $20,000 for the two cars from Dick Smith Ford is easily made up by an improvement of attendance, because if they can improve attendance by 1%, and already they're at 93% and 94%.
At least for us it would be.
They said $100,000.
For us it would be $500,000 because we have so many more students than they do.
Yeah.
And so
how about that?
I was looking at that. And I you always want to look for creative ideas. And so, of course, my team's going to say, you said that on the radio? I mean, could you have maybe vetted that with us first? But I was wondering whether or not there might be an opportunity. Now, you can't give bonuses, right? So this probably would never work. But these are the things that run through my head saying, so if we could say, all of us, we got to get our kids to class, and that means that we're all on board to just raise it one percentage point, right? Just one, actually just say every student have one fewer day of being absent, right? We would be able to increase our revenue by about $500,000. And so what if we could just split that? You know, like the school district gets half of it, and we're able to give the other part to teachers in the forms of, like, you can buy materials for your classroom or things for your school or whatever it is, but let's just all benefit from getting our kids to school.
Benefits
probably not possible, but these are the sort of creative
thoughts.
I don't know.
If Raytown's doing something like that, it might be possible.
Well,
anything that would be creative. But I think it emphasizes one of the things you said at the beginning, the importance of attendance.
Yes.
Not only for the school district because of its reimbursement from the state because it's based on attendance.
You can't learn if you're not in school.
And then the other part is you can't learn if you're not in
New
school.
New Yorkers interrupt people all the time. It's an expression of love, David.
I don't mind at all. Thank you very much for coming in early. You can do this any day you want to. You want to do it once a week, once a month, once a year.
If that's
care.
A real offer, you should talk about that. This is fun.
All right. Well, we'll do that.
All right.
If you don't mind, I think it would be great fun.